Nelson Mandela, one of the towering figures of our times, a man who helped shape our modern world, has died. Today, the people of South Africa are mourning their most famous son. That's the sound of well-wishers singing outside Nelson Mandela's home in Johannesburg, where the former president passed away last night. He'd been ill for some time. He fought against and eventually defeated the apartheid system, which a white minority ruled. He spent 27 years in jail before emerging to become the country's first black leader.
We enter into a covenant that we shall build a society in which all South Africans, both black and white, will be able to walk tall without any fear in their hearts, assured of their inalienable right to human dignity, a rainbow nation at peace with itself and the world.
Today we'll hear tributes from those who knew him, local politicians who met him, and South Africans who come to know him affectionately as his clan name Madiba. Saki Makazuma is a former Robben Island prisoner, and he met Nelson Mandela in there in 1977. I asked him what his first memory was of meeting him.
My first memory of meeting Mr. Mandela was I was struck by his physical presence. I mean, I was practically a child at the time. I was 18, 19. And we had not had the privilege of seeing a picture of Mandela, although the mere mention of the name, even in my time, spurred us on to do the kinds of things that we did. So the first thing that struck me was how tall he was. And the second thing that struck me was that how gentle he was in talking to me. We come from the same geographic area, and he knew a lot of the members of my family that we started talking around those issues and much, much later about politics. And so he came across to me as a father figure, as a teacher, as somebody that was more concerned about me as a person, not me as a cog in the liberation machinery.
He was in prison for a total of 27 years. He spent 18 years in Robben Island. What was he like in there, Saki? What was his demeanour in there? How did he keep himself together?
It's interesting because when I first met him, he told me, this is late 1977, he told me that he had been in that cell since 1964. 1964 was the first year I went to school. And that struck me because, you know, I was now, this young adult in a way, and he'd been in that cell for that long. Not any other cell, but that particular specific cell. And it's a calmness in which he would say that, it's the fact that he had a very, very strict routine about what is time to study, when it is the time to play a tennis game, when is the time to watch a movie, when is the time to read, when is the time to exercise. That discipline that I found in him was very, very striking.
Did you see the toughness in him? People do talk about him being gentle, but in contrast, they talk about him being tough. He had to be tough, given the life he led.
Yes, I did. At that time on Robben Island, it wasn't easy to see unless a warder did something that was really provoking and not consistent with his rights and privileges as a jailer, and he would then come on very hard on him. But for me,
What do you mean? That's an interesting comment. What would he have done?
I've heard many times him dressing down a prison warder and saying, "Look, I understand you have to do a job. Your job is to do these things. And if you remember regulation such and such of the Prisons Act of 1958, your responsibility is to do those things. Mine is to do these things. I'm doing mine, so you better do yours." And in the majority of cases, they would retreat completely. So he actually threw the book at them. But he could only do that because he was acting at all times in accordance with what the law required as a prisoner him to do. Obviously, there were parts of that would demean a prisoner, like, you must cut your hair. He wouldn't agree with those things. He wouldn't do it. But insofar as he was concerned, the prisoners had a role. They had to play their role. The prison warders had a role. They had to play their role. And we didn't have to try and bring our war of liberation into the prison, because that was not the place for it.
How do you think he managed to leave prison not a bitter man?
I think what happened is that over the years, and I've heard him relate this when he was writing his book, because I was traveling with him to various places before he became president. He was saying that he had the opportunity to read and understand and debate how other struggles everywhere had been conducted, and to understand what the fundamental mistakes had been in the terms of the settlements that we arrived at and what people did after those settlements. And also to gain an understanding that to change a system did not mean that one had to be a bull in a china shop. And I remember him saying to me that one of these days we're going to have to run this country. We're going to need people like you who will be able to run a country. And they cannot run a country unless you have an education. And therefore, in as much as we are fighting, we have to prepare yourself for a period in which you've won. Because if you don't do that, what we will have won, you will lose.